This show contains four-letter words and adult situations. But what did you expect? It's called Now That I'm Older.
Yeah, all these goats, they're my bitches.
Exactly. These goats work for me. You want something done? You come talk to me.
I either fuck these goats or these goats were made for me fucking. I'm the head goat motherfucker.
It's kind of a cautionary tale about leaving two little boys alone.
Are we going to talk about me shooting people again?
No, not that I remember. Dude, people were constantly having sex in the bathroom in my old apartment.
I mean, I never had sex in your apartment. I got a blowjob.
Sorry about my shit intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Now That I'm Older with Shane Smith and Ken Baldwin.
A.K.A. KB Paper Stacks, A.K.A. Baldwin Escobar, A.K.A. Danger Zone, A.K.A. Vanilla Thriller, and A.K.A. MC Killer B.
No one calls you any of that. So I subscribe to something on Facebook called Facebook Memories. Now, I don't know if you guys have it or not, but it brings up memories of things that you've posted on Facebook from years and years past. And recently, with it being the holidays, I've gotten all sorts of cool stuff. I got to see the Christmas lights on the old house that me and Nikki had before we bought this one. I got to see a picture of Thanksgiving over at my aunt and uncle's house where we had 60-something people just on their front porch. I got to see pictures where we've gone other places for Christmas. I got to see movie quotes that I was quoting back and forth about Christmas movies with friends during Christmas time. And for the most part, all of it is usually pretty happy. But every now and then something will come along that'll hit you right in the gut. Well, on December 27th, I got one of those moments where I pulled up my memories for the day. It's one of the first things I do because there's usually a lot of happy stuff in there, and usually it's a pretty good thing. But the first part of December 27th, I pull up my phone and it said, "My mama was getting ready to pass away." And I read that line and I was immediately transferred back to that moment because I had this numbness about me that day when I got in the phone call that mama had passed away, because I'd gotten to see her in a nursing home right before that. But what I saw there wasn't mama. I've told you guys about my mama before. She's this powerful, beautiful woman. She had this steel eye, this quick wit, always looked put together. You could not fuck with her. The woman was just in charge everywhere she went. And we went to this nursing home to see her. It was mama, but it was a shell of what mama used to be. It was this frail, tiny woman who could barely speak, who barely remembered any of us. But she had this flicker of recognition in her eye. And she looked at me and she mouthed the words, "I love you." And I hugged her before we left, and I just cried like a baby. And I thought about that as I'm reading this thing on Facebook with the Facebook memories. And in the midst of this shithole that has been 2016, with all these famous people that we loved dying, Alan Rickman, Prince, you know, just recently George Michael and Carrie Fisher, when these people have died, I've done my best to try and celebrate their life. Watch Die Hard with Alan Rickman, you know, go back and watch Star Wars for the 18 millionth time because Carrie Fisher passed away. Sit around and listen to George Michael because the guy passed away. Instead of wallowing in the fact that they're gone, I tried my best to kind of keep their memory alive in a happy way. So I thought this week, instead of dwelling on the sadness that my mama passed away 3 years ago and kind of still just carrying that around with me, I thought I would get past that by sharing with you guys a story that mama told me years and years ago. See, growing up, Mama and Papa actually were a minister and a minister's wife that ran a church out of Cabbagetown, Georgia. Now, Cabbagetown is one of those little suburbs, kind of like in New York. There's like 8, 9 different places that all have different names, that, you know, the different boroughs and everything like that, but they're still New York. A lot of them are still technically New York, the little cities inside New York, but it's still got the New York address. Even though you may call it Washington Heights, it's still a New York address. Well, for us, we had, you know, Cabbagetown, we had Midtown, we had Buckhead. And back in the day, Mama and Papa ran a church out of Cabbagetown. And this part of town was relatively rough. But because Mama and Papa were the preacher and the preacher's wife, everybody in the neighborhood knew not to really mess with them. But if you knocked on the door and you needed something, you needed a meal, you needed a ride, Mama and Papa were the place to go because they were going to help you, because that's the kind of people they were. Well, in this town, in this little neighborhood that they lived in, there was this guy named Hank. Now, Hank was kind of a bum. Hank was one of those guys that he didn't come over because he needed help. He came over because he didn't want to get a job, and he wanted you to give him a ride, and he wanted you to pay for his meal, and he wanted you to pay for his cigarettes. He wanted you to foot the bill for him. And because Mama and Papa were the giving people they were, he knew that he could come over and ask them for stuff. Well, Mama loved to iron. That was one of the things that the woman, every time I would go over to her house, she always had this huge ironing board right in the middle of the kitchen that she would pull our clothes out and she would iron them right there in the middle of the kitchen. And one day she's telling me the story about back in Cabbage Town, telling me about this guy named Hank. She said, "You remember living in Cabbage Town a long time ago, right? You remember me telling you about that?" And I said, "Yeah, Mama." And she tells me about this guy named Hank who knocks on the door one day. And Hank says, "Lucille, I need you to give me a ride down to the store, and I need you to grab me a pack of cigarettes. I ain't got no money for cigarettes right now, but if you can grab me a pack of cigarettes, I'll pay you back on Friday." Now, Hank had pulled this trick many, many times. And Mama knew that he had no intention of paying them back, and Mama and Papa had already talked about the fact that Hank was pretty much cut off. Now, Mama's telling me the story as she's ironing right there in the middle of the kitchen. She's got a pair of my pants on top of the ironing board, and she's ironing as she's telling me the story. And she says, "You know, we told Hank, we're not going to help you anymore. Hank, you don't really seem like you want to get a job. You don't seem to want to help yourself." And Hank says, "Lucille, I need you to take me to the store. I ain't got a ride, and I know you can help me. I know you got a car out there. Can you take me to the store?" Mama looks at Hank and says, "Hank, I'm not taking you. I've already told you I'm not taking you. I'm busy right now. I got food I got to get ready here in just a second for dinner. I'm not taking you to the store. You need to go find a ride from somewhere else." Hank at this point is pissed. He gets up in Mama's face. He slams his hands down on the end of the ironing board and says, "Lucille, I need you to take me to the store and I need you to grab me some cigarettes, okay? I ain't got time to play around with you here today." And he's got both of his hands planted firmly at the very end of the ironing board. Mama told me as she's sitting there ironing my pants in her kitchen, she goes back to Hank and she says, "I looked at Hank, I looked down at his hands, I lifted my iron, and I slammed him down on his hands. Looked at Hank and said, 'I'm not taking you to the store.' Picked my iron back up, looked down at it to make sure nothing was on it, went right back to ironing my pants, and Hank left. And that was the last time I'd ever seen Hank. And I can still see the pine cabinets behind my mall. I can still see the avocado green refrigerator and the nasty green sink that she had behind her and the curtains with berries on them. And she's telling me this story with this almost eerie calm. Like, she never really feared that Hank was going to hurt her. She never really feared that she was in danger. This little, small, 5'2" woman was in control of the situation when this guy was basically trying to shake her down for a ride to the store. And I remember holding Mama in such reverence at that moment and being equally really fucking frightened of my grandmother all at the same time, but not in like a scared way, more in like a, I better not cross this woman kind of way. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another week of Now That I'm Older. To show about how getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the exact same time. You can find us online, go to nowthatimolder.com. We're also on Facebook, as well as Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show anywhere you find us online, because that helps us out a lot. And you can find us on Twitter and Gmail, but it's at @NTIOPod. And we're also on Twitter with the hashtag Podern Family. Now, Podern Family is a family of podcasters who come together to cross-promote each other, spread the word about badass podcasts, and basically just create a family out of nothing. If you go to Twitter and check out the hashtag, you're going to find our show, as well as the WTF is Success podcast, the Dirty Bits podcast, and the Yes Listen podcast. And this week on episode 99, Goats, No-No Spots, and the Cobb County Flasher, we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, including a goat who caused a huge commotion, a friend of ours from high school who, let's just say, developed into a creep, and Kenny having to throw a friend of his out for being a little bit inappropriate. But before we get into that, this is episode 99, which means next week is episode 100 of the podcast. We're going to start brand new and fresh in 2017, and one of the first things that we're going to tell you guys about is we have a brand new phone number for you guys to call into. If you want to call in, leave us a message, tell us what you think about Now That I'm Older. We would love to hear from you for our 100th episode. So you can give us a call at 678-653-NTIO. That's 678-653-6846 or NTIO. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about Now That I'm Older. Give us a shout out for episode 100. Let us know if you think Kenny's an asshole or if I'm an asshole. But either way, please give us a call on our phone number 678-653-NTIO or 6846. And with all that being said, let's get into the show.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
All right, so we're going to talk about a goat that created a very, very large commotion.
I love goats.
Yeah, you've had this really weird obsession with goats for a long fucking
time.
They're
really good animals. And while we were making the movie, we came across goats that were wearing chains like a gang. It was really weird. And they were cool. They weren't aggressive or nothing. They just kind of stand there and chill with you like they just belong there.
They didn't even like really make too much noise and shit. They were just like,
yo. There's one big goat. And he had like a chain with a lock on it.
Is that like a padlock?
And he looked like a G, dude. He didn't give a fuck about nobody.
And he had that look like he didn't say anything. He was just like, yo, I'm supposed to be here.
All these goats, they're my bitches.
Exactly. These goats work for me. You want something done? You come talk to me.
I either fuck these goats or these goats were made for me fucking. I'm the head goat motherfucker. And he talked in my head, like not in my voice, but in Richard Pryor's.
I was thinking more like Riley from the
Boondocks. No, it's Richard Pryor. These are my goats, motherfucker.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those were the G unit goats that we dealt with when we were making the movie. This goat was just a bleeding goat on an island off the west coast of Ireland.
Why was he bleeding?
Bleating, not bleeding.
He
prompted a multi-agency search and rescue operation amid fears that someone was stranded and in difficulty. So the alarm starts going off. Everybody starts freaking out on Tuesday night when people on the mainland at a cabin near Kilrush reported that they could hear someone shouting for help from Hog Island. It's all shit really going on in Ireland, okay? They could hear somebody shouting for help from Hog Island, which is a kilometer offshore. So they
That's
believe
a loud motherfucking shout.
Exactly. So this goat apparently is losing his mind. So this goat is losing his mind a kilometer offshore, and these like the fucking cops, the search and rescue, like the Coast Guard, everybody.
What the fuck does this goat got going on that he's needing to like vocalize? Like, is he trying to get some pussy? I mean, hey, bitches, hey!
There was a
somebody come stop my goat dick.
There was a helicopter that was scrambled to come find this person who was screaming for help a kilometer offshore.
Okay.
So they sent lifeboats racing to this island. Volunteer members of the service were attending a meeting at their base at the time and were all able to launch immediately. We're talking dozens of people.
This sounds like the community rescue group to me that was just like so excited somebody was calling for help. And they're trying to spin this, but what really happened is they got so worked up over a goat that they launched a full-scale like rescue attempt because they were bored.
Well, basically, they launched an air, land, yes. and sea
they
attack
went,
on
they
this
went
island.
Weekend warrior madness,
dude. They got. I'm sure these words were used more than once. This is not a drill. We have someone who is legitimately in difficulty
seriously,
right now.
Seriously, guys, this is serious.
Guys, we need to take this seriously. Somebody could be dying right now. Okay,
I bet it's just a goat.
I'm not even.
Shut up, man. That's so rude.
It's probably not a goat, Mike. Thanks. So,
goat.
So they basically realize they all get into it, and somebody finds out. Like they don't get into exactly how they found out it was a goat, but basically they come to the conclusion that it's a goat, and everybody's like, "Never mind, totally a drill. That was a goat, guys. It's okay."
It sounds like something right out of South Park.
And then the chairman of the RNLI, I forget exactly what the initials stand for. It's like their police force type thing. He gets on there and he's like, "It's always better to be prepared in a situation like this than it is to just, you know, let someone be screaming for help and not be able to get to him." And I'm like, yeah, I'll bet what you're sitting there thinking is, God damn it, dude. We launched a multi-front attack to try and find this person. We're thinking we're going to find
him. What if there's
like,
some guy that was molesting goats who is deep in hiding right now because he thought like the goat fuckers task force was coming out in strength to come save that goat from his molestation ways.
And they got out there to him. Like, as soon as they saw it was just a goat standing there, they didn't realize the goat was in stirrups.
I wouldn't rescue a guy if I went out there and found him fucking a goat. I'd be like, no, you're staying out here on Hog Island, Hog.
You and your dirty goat fucking dick can stay on this island.
You're a wild man now. You don't get to come back to society.
You don't ever get to come back and visit, dude.
Some stuff is just too much. Like, you know, child molesters, goat fuckers, all of them.
Exactly, dude. When you think... Like, here's the thing. There was some time in my 30s where I crossed over thinking a chick who was like 17 or 18 was really hot. And now it's just like, no.
How would you react if you saw our friend that we went to high school with? I wouldn't say friend, associate. He was a band. He was a drum major. How would you react now that I've just informed you that he's definitely a molester now? He's stepped up from being a flasher to a full-on molestation charge. Serve time for it. If you were to go like into QT and he was there.
I honestly would probably walk up and just be like, what's up, man? Just to be like, Kenny, I talked to a child molester.
This happened to me.
He was just in there and you were hanging out?
And this, right there with goat fuckers. I know this guy's dirty. It was a long time ago. This was before his latest charge, where he had served time in prison. And I saw him and he didn't see me. And I went full like on, I went full on like Mission Impossible.
Like, you're hoping you could catch a glimpse or something?
No, sort of like reason. I was trying to get the fuck out of there without him seeing me. I was going to another gas station to get gas at this point. I did not want contact. No.
So to give you guys some background on exactly what Kenny's talking about, we had a guy in where we live called the Cobb County Flasher. This guy was legitimately nicknamed by the newspapers the Cobb County Flasher. And before we knew it was somebody we knew, it was apparently just a guy who would drive to apartment complexes, see little kids playing on a playground, and pull his little thing
out.
He'd
like flash 12-year-old girls.
Exactly, to show it to him. And I'm like, okay.
Apparently first he did it to like a 16-year-old girl he worked with. I've got the full story from a mutual friend.
Oh.
And this was out in Douglasville, and he got like away with it, but like, you know, it was all kind of hush hush. And then he did it again to strangers, and that's when he got arrested.
This is like pre dick pic, dude. Like
this is like dick pic 10 times 10. This is like not dick pic. This is a dick. This is the real. So, world. This is the really real world, man.
So like he's driving around just pulling it out, and
jumping
it
out with a trench coat. I mean,
yeah, jumping out with a trench coat, and then he gets arrested, and then we find out that it's legitimately the guy who was the drum major. My junior year in high school, Kenny's sophomore year.
Yeah, there's like a community topic thread where I found that where they're talking about he's a molester and don't let him near your kids. Because like he was volunteering at these things for kids. Remember, he was a substitute for a while at school too.
He was a substitute. He was like really active in school as far as like young all life. The clubs and young life and, you know, very, very active in his church. And his sister was a teacher at the school we went to. And it was like, when you find out this guy is a fucking flasher, you're like, oh.
Kind of makes sense though.
He was you start connecting dots and going, well, that was weird. That one time he said that one thing and shit like that. And you're like, I don't know, man. I can't believe this dude. But seeing him in a store, like going back to your original question.
Yeah, I was like doing fucking full frontal rolls and like belly crawls.
I don't know. Like I might have just been like, you know, what's up? And kept on moving.
You wouldn't even ask about it.
I don't know. I mean, how do you bring it up? Like, so
if Nikki was there, Nikki would ask.
So I heard you pulled your dick out in front of some kids.
So I hear you're a child molester. What the fuck?
How do you bring it up? Be like, oh, so do you have to tell your neighbors when you move in?
Well, I'm friends with
his
mom on Facebook and his brother. And I used to like spend the night over there and stuff because I was in band with this cat. And like Bobby would stay over there. That's who told me about him. A friend named Bobby who married, a clarinet player.
I think she was color guard.
Something. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, these people are all in like the social circle of band where I was kind of halfway in, halfway out because they tolerated me, but I never took the culture quite on.
Kenny and I were in band.
Shane, you were all in. No. You were way more into being in a drumline than I was into being in
band. Oh, no. I was into being in a drumline, but as far as like the whole band culture type thing and like hanging out with the band kids, drumline was definitely different.
You were still way more into it than I was ever into being in a band. Like, I was there and like, this is an easy A. I'm not doing any marching. Just go ahead and put me in this pit thing because, yeah, I play trumpet, but I'm not marching with it.
No. You marched one year while I was there.
I marched my freshman year and I had enough. I had enough. My thighs get real squishy in the summer when I'm marching. And it's not pleasant and I don't like
my it. My thighs get real squishy. But yeah, like I just, it goes back to realizing that.
Remember those stupid ass blue shorts for our summer uniforms?
I think summer uniforms were stupid altogether.
Oh God, they were so horrible. They were like the worst shorts ever. They were like nylon.
And we're back to talking about being in band. We've gone from,
well, hold on, the molesters in bands. Let's go back. So all these people are in the band community. That's how I know, but I'm friends with his mother. And I'm like so tempted to be like, so
I heard your son.
I see. Because he went back to prison after he got out. So, and his next charge was in Cobb. His original charges were in Cobb County Flasher. But these new charges were in Fulton, and Fulton doesn't release as much information. So all I know is it's a molestation charge.
I wonder if he's just known as the Georgia Flasher now since he's moved to Fulton.
I don't think it was so much flashing. I think there was some penetration of some sort because it's like it was a serious charge. He got upgraded. He's serving years for this one.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm back in prison is what I'm trying to explain to you.
Well, you told me that he was back in prison, but you didn't say like there was penetration involved. Like there might have been sodomy.
I want to ask his mom about it, but there's no polite way to say, hey, was your granddaughter the one that your son raped? I mean,
oh my God,
there's no way to broach that subject.
So it doesn't even say what the actual charge is?
It says molestation. It's not flashing. It's not indecent exposure. This is an actual molestation.
Well, molestation charge might have been he just like grabbed a girl's tit or something like that.
I mean, he may have rubbed a girl's privates or something. I don't know. And that's why I want to say, was this? Is he allowed to ever see his children again?
Does he have to tell his neighbors when he moves in?
I see your family photos don't include Eric anymore. Do what? He's in the newspaper. Shane's taking faces, but you can Google Cobb County Flasher.
You'll find James
Aaron Jeffries. Trust me, he's in Baldwin State Prison. He ain't going to be here in the podcast. They do not have the internet there. I know my uncle just got out of prison.
And my dad's still in. It's always jacked up to hear how some people from high school turned out after you left. Next up, we're going to run to a quick promo break, but when we get back, we're going to talk about an acquaintance that Kenny had who decided to get a little bit inappropriate and Kenny decided to take action. So check it out. We'll be right back.
This week on the Netflix and Swill podcast.
It's 11-11. Make a wish.
I wish I was dead.
I wish I was dead.
You're the lid to my pot.
Oh, man. Blooper episode.
So check out our show on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
Hey, everyone. I am Mike Jolitz from The Mike Jolitz Show, available on Spreaker.com and iTunes soon, I hope. I do a show where I mention some news items, celebrity stuff, stupid criminals, and just silly things I read on the interweb. Proud member of the Podern family. Idea.
We're recording.
You didn't tell me what the fuck, my magic? My Doctor Strange all of a sudden doesn't use my third fucking eye of Omicron or whatever the fuck he has?
Are you excited about seeing the Doctor Strange movie?
It's a Marvel movie. Of course I am. I like all Marvel movies. Unlike you.
Fanboy.
Not a fanboy. I just like comic book characters. I like DC just as much as I like Marvel, although their quality is not quite as good.
Yeah, DC definitely needs to turn it up. I don't know what they need to do. I think they just need to go through and fire everybody and start over. Keep Ben Affleck and move forward.
Ben Affleck was good. I think they need to get it together in the writing department.
The writing department and the direction department. I don't think the dude directing the movie.
Yeah, it was neither here nor there for me. I think the writing was the problem.
Okay, so anyway, you had told me a story at one point that you felt as though you wanted to include here, and now that I'm older, it's kind of a cautionary tale about leaving two little boys alone.
Are we going
to
talk about me shooting people again?
No, not that I remember. I think this was a completely different story that was innocent from around like 12, 13, maybe 10, somewhere in there.
Oh, well, get to it. I don't know what you're talking about yet.
Well, you told me that you had to ask a friend of yours, who was not really a friend of yours, who was more a friend of a friend, to leave. Because he was being a little bit weird.
The guy who started touching himself and shit. Trying to be all, like, I don't know if he was being gay or pedophilia because he was like a year older or whatever. But
he was trying to be erotic.
Didn't work out for him.
Trying to be erotic.
Yeah, we were hanging out and my basement was half finished and it was one of the places we role played at.
Yeah.
And this guy was not one of the role playing kids. He was not one of the kids that hung out with us. He lived in the neighborhood, the next subdivision down from me.
So when you say lived near you, was he in the good neighborhood? Was he in an okay neighborhood?
It was just the next subdivision down. It was like, it's the subs, dude. We have subdivision after subdivision. It's no
different. I'm just saying, like,
you know.
It wasn't like the trailer park where you had a nastier trailer park than the others. They're all the fucking same in the suburbs, dude. Sorry, I forgot to explain this shit. There's just the burbs. We're all the same.
Well, you remember I lived in a trailer park, so.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have, like, different subdivisions we had to avoid where they had guys who were burning down trailers. It was not like that.
That's a whole separate story.
We had different problems in the suburbs like this. So, yeah, we were chilling, and in the same little area, it wasn't like 12. We were in high school. I think I was a sophomore, and this guy was either he was in your class.
Okay.
So we were chilling, and everybody else had left, and he was there with his buddy, one of our mutual friends, and I didn't really like this cat. He always was kind of weird. I never knew why, but he was just weird.
There's always those people that when you hang out with them, you have no idea what you don't like about them. They just, there's something's off.
So he starts just getting a little bit too, like, I don't know, he starts leaning back and, like, got his legs way out and starts, like, asking way personal questions. And, like,
what kind of personal questions?
The first ones, I couldn't give you an example, but they're questions that would kind of catch you off guard, like, I don't know. But then he got to questions on the next level of, like, have you ever touched yourself? Have you ever, you know, have you ever taken a picture? Or stuff like that. The questions that you would ask girls when you're trying to get in their pants. And I recognize right the fuck away what the fuck he's doing. And he's, like, starting to slowly creep his hand up near his crotch area. And I'm like, dude, you got to go. You got to get the fuck out. It's like, I don't even like you that much. And there's nothing wrong with being gay, but I'm not. And, you know, you're not gay. You have a girlfriend. So what the fuck ever you got going on? You got to go. So he's like, but he started getting kind of like, you know, how like when a girl tells you no and you're still trying. And I was like, dude, this is about to get to the whole me whooping your ass part if you don't get out that fucking door.
So let's clarify that this was not a homophobic moment. This was
this was a no means no moment.
Exactly. And he kept on trying to push it. It
absolutely
after he
has nothing
you.
To do with being gay because we have a mutual friend that's gay and who's in a very openly gay relationship now. He's very happy. And he used to try to talk us into letting him suck our dick all the time to prove to us that it would still be good. And of course, we said no, but we never were offended. He was just trying to get us to do it so that we would feel like we owed him a blowjob in return. I'm not stupid.
And it's never going to work.
It's never going to work.
It's never going to work that way.
No. Bo let him suck his dick. That's a true story. I'm not making it up. You can ask Ray or David or Tommy. Or you can ask the person we're talking about who you know. I'm not going to put his name out there, even though he's gay openly and doesn't care.
Yeah, but we're not going to say that. But at the same time.
He's a really nice guy, by the way.
This actually happened at my house.
Ah, ha, ha, yes, that's right. Bo can't get out of it because Shane can prove it.
I can't prove it. I wasn't like in there with like a hidden camera.
You were
like
Jeremiah, like get it in deeper. Go for it.
Oh God, no.
How much gay sex happened in your old apartment?
Between gay and straight sex, it was basically just an orgy in that bathroom. I mean, it was constant.
Damn.
Dude, people were constantly having sex in the bathroom in my old apartment.
I mean, I never had sex in your apartment. I got a blowjob.
Dude, everybody had something happen to them in my apartment. That place was a vortex.
I was making out with a chick until her hair fell out. Then I cut that shit right out. She was bald.
What now?
Oh, yeah. One of Tommy's girlfriend's friends. Me and Jamie were there, and I was flirting with this girl hardcore and, like, started making out with her and shit, and it was all good. And Jamie was all like, you know, being a good wingman. And then we like kind of were getting a little frisky and I rolled her over too quick and her hair fell off and shit stopped. I was like, nope, no. And Jamie was like, Jamie was on point. He was like, man, you need that ride because I got to go. You still need that ride? And my car was there. And I was still like, yep. And we jumped in the car. We drove around and he brought me back to my car. And then we went to my house and smoked some weed.
Let's not gloss over this. Let's get back. let's reverse.
Yeah.
So chick's like a couple
she
years.
She had apparently a nervous disorder and she had like pulled her hair out. She was a teenager.
So all her hair was gone though. Like
she shaved it so it wasn't patchy and then they had gotten her a wig. And it was a good wig so you couldn't tell. She looked like she had a bob cut.
And this is going back to when we were still kids and things like this were
this
is
when
traumatic.
You first got like DA. Yeah, we aren't old enough or mature enough to deal with that kind
exactly.
of shit. Like, so I'm sure I crushed that girl because I wasn't even nice about it. We were all like, nope, we got to go. Oh, my God, you're bald.
I had a moment like that when I was working.
Oh, dude, I forgot part of it. It was actually worse than that. Like, we were flirting around, but we weren't laying on the ground rolling around. We were flirting kind of in and out your door. And she had leaned back as I was like leaning in and she leaned back over the rail and it fell down to the first floor. Yeah, it was that bad.
Oh my God. And then she
the Shane's apartment was on the second floor, so it fell down the stairwell.
And she's standing there bald.
Had to run down there. Oh, and she ran so fast, you could tell it hurt. You could tell there was pain. And we just ran. Me and Jamie were just like, we're out.
And you had to run past her to get out.
No, we let her come back up, and we were standing in shock there at that point still. And then as soon as she got back, and she was still like adjusting it, we were like, doof.
Oh my God, dude. That chick's got you on a list. If she ever gets the chance
to poison you. Oh, she's French. No, I know her. She's still friend mutual. I think she sent me a friend request. And like, you know, I'm fairly popular with the ladies. She'll try to talk me up every now and then. She looked better without hair then than she does now with hair. So it's like, no. Do not try to talk nice to me, girl. No, you look like you worked at Waffle House way too long.
I dated a couple girls in high school that ended up working at Waffle House, and that just there's a moment that ruins you somehow.
Something happened.
Now, some girls worked at Waffle House and got out unscathed. That's fine, but some girls worked at Waffle House. And
this girl, something happened along the line, and she got worn out.
Rode hard and put up wet.
That's not enough. Statement. Like it's just there are cartoon styles that look like this.
So a girl's hair fell off.
Oh, dude. In your apartment.
In my apartment. I mean, so many weird things.
You were asleep.
Happened. So many weird things.
You were there. You were just passed out because you had to work.
I mean, we could do like an entire 3 months on D8, honestly, and have enough stories to be like, it would be new.
Who was
every
the other
week.
Girl we were talking about in that conversation? The girl with the hair. Where did we start with this one?
We started with somebody getting a blowjob in my bathroom.
Oh, Bo. Bo. Yeah. By our friend that always tried to get other guys to let him suck their dick so he could prove that it was just as good when he did it as when a girl did it.
Yeah, and he always would talk.
And then there was a girl we knew that was always doing that to prove that she was good at sucking dick. Her name was Tracy. She was Oriental. And your brother was the one that got me hooked up with her. Because, like, that was at the time where I got my first apartment, Ashley Mills. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
And Steven was still, like, 12, so he had no fear to go up and talk to a hot girl, even though we were all trying to be, like, cool 19, 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
And she's this hot, like, Vietnamese girl sitting there with a half, like, belly shirt on.
Is she Korean or Vietnamese? Because I think you don't know.
No, she was Vietnamese.
Okay.
Tracy was. She was half Vietnamese, half white. So he goes up and just blatantly is like, what's up, hot girl? No game, but except for a 12-year-old. For a 12-year-old, it was sweet. It was smooth. But for an adult, we would have been laughed at.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, this girl's up there drinking with us. Not trying to talk to Steven because he's 12, but nonetheless.
A lot of girls did try to talk to Steven before they knew.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we used him that way.
Yeah, we used him as kind of like the puppy.
Yeah, go get her. And it worked. And I hooked up with Tracy a couple times. She was fun.
On the waterbed, if I remember.
Yes. Yes.
Which just sounds gross.
And then I pawned her off on Brett, David's baby mom, baby daddy.
We don't have to go down this path.
We can, baby.
But
yeah, so Tracy was cool, but Tracy was, and you know what? I'm not going to say she was lying. That girl, whew. But yeah, she would dare you. She would tell you she could make it, she could time you.
Well, this is the thing, though. Back then, I did everything I could to avoid any sort of conversation with trying to get with a girl that any of my friends had been with. And unfortunately, during that time period.
Well, none of our core friends got with Tracy. Some of our auxiliary friends did after I got with her, but those weren't, friends that
auxiliary
were.
Auxiliary friends. Like we used to have
Brett
like the group.
And Billy Ho. Those were like guys who came in because we were cool and they wanted to hang out with us, but they never, they didn't stay permanent. They came and went. It was like a Barry Windham versus an Arn Anderson for the Four Horsemen. It wasn't like a not even a Barry Windham. It was more like a what was the football
Kendall
player's
Windham?
No, what was the football player's name that was a horseman for a little while?
Oh, Mike something
McMahon or something.
I don't remember his name. The guy, Steve Mongo McMahon.
Yes, Steve Mongo McMahon.
Idiot.
Those level of horsemen. That's what Billy Ho's and Brett's and
oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
They weren't like and I didn't mind passing a girl off to them. I think she's still with Brett. They had a kid.
Well, let's hope they have a great life together.
They had a kid, a little girl.
That's always so weird, dude. When people have that oops moment, and they're like, "Yeah, you're kind of cool. Let's just stick it out.
Might as well stay together now.
Yeah, we're fucking stuck together."
And Billy Ho had people convinced that we were the mafia.
Well, Billy Ho also...
And didn't tell us until after he did it. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Billy was like, we noticed like people would like make way when we'd walk through. We're like, you guys ever notice that people are like afraid of us suddenly? And then Billy just piped up, oh, I told them guys you were like the local mafia representatives. And you're like, What?
Why did you do that, Billy?
So they would get out of your way. We were walking down the... Okay, actually, good work, Billy.
I remember Billy having a Cadillac that he had, that was like a 72 Cadillac.
Yeah, his dad had left it at the airport and told him if he went and paid it out of parking, he could have it.
So he gets his Cadillac, and he doesn't just get the Cadillac. He sets house speakers and wires them into the back of the car. So that he can have actual sound, and we would ride in his car, and it sounded fucking good.
That car was huge. You could put 15 fucking people in that car.
And we did from time to time, but you and I would always ride up front.
Oh, yeah.
And there was enough room to where the person in the middle wasn't touching the other two people.
No, dude, me, you, and Billy Ho could all be in the front, looking like gangsters.
Exactly, dude.
Yeah, those were good days.
Yeah, they were, but at the same time, it was kind of all of us going through a lot of shit to get us there. There was a lot of shit that went along with those good days.
We just took Arlene's car for a while. This girl had a crush on our friend David, so we just basically took advantage of that and basically just repossessed her car from her. We're just going to drive your car, Arlene. Okay. She was so dumb. She works in a nuclear power plant now. That makes me so scared. I went up there and wants to pick up David's, it's supposed to be David's kid that looks just like Brett.
Right.
Who was also sleeping with Arlene. But neither here nor there. And when I got up there, she lives not in Savannah, but the city north of Savannah on the North Carolina side.
Okay. I have no idea what it is.
Wherever the nuclear power plant is that's over there, because she works at that nuclear power plant. They told me that, and I was like, Arlene, the person who we told we were getting a roommate, and she thought we were talking about her hamster, presses the buttons at the nuclear.
She's got the codes for the nuclear power plant. Shut that thing down.
Jesus Christ, the Simpsons do predict everything in real life. She's dumber than Homer.
Simpsons did it.
Homer makes her look smart.
Well, you don't know her now, though.
Dude, I met her when we picked up the kid, and yeah, same.
No intelligence increase at all?
I got there with her, and it was so bad I stopped midstream and walked away.
Really?
So dumb you can't fuck. So dumb you can't fuck.
Okay, there's 100%, there's been plenty of times where I've gotten with a girl, talked to her, been to the point of being let's take this to the next level, and being I don't know.
No, we were in. It was going. You got to go sleep in that bed.
Wait.
It was over.
You were having sex with her and you stopped?
It was that bad. I didn't know it could be that bad. It was that bad.
What did she have snakes coming out of it or something? I mean, what happened to make it this bad?
You could imagine that's what serial killers felt like when they were fucking dead bodies.
What?
It was horrible.
Dead fish, basically, is what
dead fish doesn't even fucking explain it, dude. It's just do something.
Ladies and gentlemen, I feel like this entire story has taken a completely different turn now.
Fucking God.
I mean, I've had bad sex to the point where
she was trying. Everything she was doing was just wrong. It was just wrong. It was just, no, just get the fuck out of the bed. I'm just tired at this point.
I've had sex to the point where I stopped a girl and was like, no, I appreciate the effort. I really do.
Yeah, I appreciate letting me put my penis in your vagina, but the chase was all there was. Yeah, it was like catching a rabbit. I would imagine this is how a dog feels if it catches a rabbit and finds out that it's a bad rabbit.
No, there's no meat there. It's too skinny.
There's meat. Maybe it's bad. It's just this rabbit did nothing but drink soda.
And it was diabetic. It was missing a foot.
I don't know. This meat tastes bad. And it was just like, I don't know, man. This is the worst sex I've ever had.
I don't understand how we went from, we've gotten here from far away.
There was others that were bad that were there was one girl, it was like a hot dog down a hallway, and that was, but that wasn't even that bad.
Yeah. Dude,
at least she was enjoying herself.
That's always a good thing.
And there's no reason if I'm involved that it should be a hot dog in the hallway. I'm not bragging, but I ain't fucking feeling ashamed ever in my life either. So, I'm not winning any goddamn field goal kicking contest, but a goddamn baby leg when he does the goddamn girth. So, goddamn, how the fuck it gets in there? It feels like I got no friction. You bitch, you're a hoe. If I told you who I'm talking about, you'd be like, "Oh, that's not surprising."
No, I already know. We don't have to say her name, but it's
she's in prison now.
I know. We've talked about her going to prison too. We've talked about all this. We talked about her having her baby.
So
in the
disappointed because so many dudes were like in love with her.
There's been plenty of girls that
they were like in love with her though. I thought it was going to be like gold plated. God damn it! I got in there and I was like, "Are you for real? Are you fucking for real?"
Well, the problem is you waited till all of them had told you their story. That means that all of them had visited.
So disappointed. I've been with some girls who are like hoes, and they were fucking. They like must be training that shit because they were still very talented.
I know exactly what you're talking about. When a girl,
that shit's a myth. I don't care how many guys they've been with. If it's good, it's good. So,
well, if you keep things in order, let's just put it that way. We don't have to get all vulgar and shit, but if you keep things in order down there, everything should be fine. If you're a hoe and you don't put any work in, that's on you. Okay. You just fucked everything up and I don't want any part of you anymore.
I mean, I was so disappointed in that. I wasn't shocked with Early. I was like 19. It was all should have been good at that age. I mean, Jesus Christ, humping a fucking couch leg should have been good at 19.
Yeah. Yeah. When you first
learn. When you walk away from a piece of ass at 19, it's bad.
If you walk away from a piece of ass under 22, something's wrong. Happened wrong. Okay. Because up until around 22 for a dude, it's pretty much like, dude, let's do this shit. Let's do it.
It's just like something about the way she looked at it. It just felt weird.
All right. We're going to end with Kenny's awkward sex story right there.
What happened here was a miracle, and I want you to fucking acknowledge it.
That's it for Now That I'm Older this week, guys. Thank you so much for checking out the show. You can find us online, nowthatimolder.com, Facebook, Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. You can also find us on Twitter and Gmail, but it's at NTIOPod. Check back next Thursday for a brand new episode. And as always, getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the same time. Have a great week.
All right, Kenny, we're going to go ahead and stop the podcast now.
That's a logical fallacy.
No, we're going to stop the podcast right now. It's time for it to be over.
There is no podcast. No, this is real.
Yes, there is.
It's like 12 Monkeys.
If we each have a destiny, or if we're all just floating around accidental like on a breeze, but I think maybe it's both.